Blog Talk Radio.
As parents, most adults do whatever is necessary to protect their children. Even with the best intentions, the unexpected can happen. Parents do not have the foresight to see what will happen 1 minute into the future. Sometimes with multitasking, being single parents, or just being in an economy where families have been stretched to wits' ends, making it difficult to make it financially, these combinations can take their toll. Now, finding energy in the midst of injury or sickness can be a formidable task. Chronic pain can take up a lot of energy in conjunction to healing and recovery. Fortunately, our summer draws near, where the temperatures turn hot and the gloomy rainy days, snow, and hail normally is behind us. And if disabled, additional burdens may have fallen upon you. What can be done to find energy after a car accident? Let's talk about you and finding energy today here on Estro's Radio Show. Welcome, and thank you for joining Talking About You with Estra on Block Talk Radio. This May 18, 2013, this is your car accident talk radio show, sharing information and concerns that help you. Hi, I'm Estra, your host. Tune in every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are coming to you from Seattle, Washington. On this program, your challenges in dealing with insurance companies, self-insured employers, and coping with everyday situations from being involved in a car accident are up for discussion. Dial 718-766-4385. Again, that number is 718-766-4385 right now to participate in the broadcast. Someone injured just like you wanted to hear your stories on finding energy. Call 718-766-4385. If after the show, call 206-203-4686. That number again is 206-203-4686 to provide your comments or tweet Estra's Radio Show. I'd like to acknowledge today is Armed Forces Day, although lately in the news we've been hearing about some of the bad sides of serving in the military. Let us not let it take away from them keeping our country safe along with our allies. The sacrifices our military personnel make should be commended and respected, and I'd like to take this moment to acknowledge so. Thank you for all you do, sometimes without much accolade. Now, our personal injury in the news this week. These views on current events have no association with the writers of the articles. From time to time, I'll be stopping and taking a moment to comment on a section. Our first news comes from abclocal.go.com, and it's a story on Bodies of Work Celebrates Disability Arts and Culture, and it's by Karen Myers. And it's, quote, "A celebration of disability arts and culture kicks off Wednesday in Chicago. It's 11 day of multi-venue events scheduled around the city. Bodies of Work have something for everyone, including theater, dance, film, literature, and performance arts with various perspectives from people with different disabilities. Bodies of Work starts May 15th and runs through May 25th at different institutions around Chicago. We are showing the work in mainstream venues as well as grassroots venues, so it's unique in that way," says Carrie Sandel, Associate Professor of Disability Studies at the University of Illinois Chicago and the director of this event. "This is the second Bodies of Work Festival. We have nationally and internationally known artists," said Sandel. "We have a company called Back to Back Theater from Australia. We have an artist named Brian LaBelle. He has a one-man show about the experience with cancer called Ball and Other Funny Stories About Cancer. What is unique about us is that it is not necessarily mainstreaming people with disabilities. It's about finding out what art generates from our uniqueness. Oak Park-based Momenta Dance Company will be part of Bodies of Work. They have dancers with and without disabilities. We do a little bit of everything, modern, classical, ballet, jazz, contemporary, said Momenta Associate Director of Anita Kenny. Sometimes even a little bit of hip-hop. Kenny says integrated dance is a team effort. It requires a lot of communication and open mind, says Kenny. We're really hoping the disability community comes out to enjoy work that's made by and about people with disabilities. Usually we see work made about us, but not with us. So we're really excited. The festival is open to the general public. There is a charge for some events. For more information, go to www.bodiesofworkchicago.org. End quote. I selected this article because I just think it's great sometimes to realize that everyone has potential. And although we talk about people with disabilities a lot because of car accidents and how that happens to a lot of people in this situation, but the main goal is truly to be able to know that people can have full and wonderful lives in spite of a disability, and that one's uniqueness, which I think this is great to actually attend this event, to actually be able to see people who have actually embraced all parts of who they are and what they can do, and they're not accepting what somebody else is telling them that they can or cannot do. People are exploring just who they are and bringing that to the third form of the arts, which I just think is fantastic. So I hope that you'll go out to these events and check them out and maybe come back and send a tweet or two at Esther's radio show or Esther's TV or Esther's blog tips out on Twitter and tell us what you think about it, because I just think it would be fantastic to attend. Our second personal injury news comes from U.S. News and it's NBCNews.com. And the title of this article is Florida Prom Goers Aid in Car Accident Rescue. And it's by Matthew DeLuca. Quote, cummerbunds and corsages round out prom night for a group of 20 Florida teenagers who sprang from their limo to help the victims of an automobile accident on Saturday. The high school seniors were gussied up to dance the night away in Fort Lauderdale when a van carrying a family of seven turned over in front of them on Interstate 595. A dramatic video captured the students from Western High School in Davie, Florida, as they helped pull five adults and two children from the vehicle. The drivers of the van, a Honda Odyssey, was traveling eastbound on I-595 when traffic slowed, said Sergeant Mark Waskowski of Florida Highway Patrol. The driver apparently veered to the left, bouncing off the divider and turning the van on its side. The students were in their Cadillac Escalade limo directly behind the van when it slipped just before 6:45 p.m. Danny Izzy, president of Avante Limousine and Airport Transportation, told the South Florida Sun-Sentinel. I almost hit them, Izzy, who was at the wheel of the limo, told the paper. I had to slam on my brakes, but with 20 kids in there, it's really difficult to put the brakes on. Palmgoers Peter Kim told NBC Miami that he grabbed a young boy from the overturned van and helped to calm the mother. I have to stop here for just a moment because it's so important to see just how wonderful it is that when people see other people in need or need help, that they stop. To me, it's just fantastic. These graduates would make the decision when they saw that there was a need to get out and know that that was a higher priority than one of the most special nights of their lives. That they weren't concerned with their dress or if they were going to be late or any of those issues. Their main concern began to be about those people hurt. And if that's not compassion and care, I don't know what is. So I just want to say kudos to them and kudos to their family for creating them with a value system that knows that people are important. Okay, I'm going to go back to the article. We laid her down, and I'll back up one sentence so that you can catch on. It says, Palm Gore Peter Kim told NBC Miami that he grabbed a young boy from the overturned van and helped calm the mother. We laid her down and we tried to calm her down. She was just panicking. She was in shock, Kim said. She was screaming out, "Where's my baby? Where's my baby?" I was just hoping that the people were okay. said fellow senior Frank Tucker. The students still made it to the prom after what Tucker described was a silent ride. It felt great that we got to help someone out and that we didn't just roll by, Kim told NBC Miami. I'm happy that I had my peers that actually helped out instead of just sitting there and doing nothing. The professionals agreed. It was really amazing because nowadays when people are so willing not to get involved, they were ready to get involved, Sergeant Waskasi said. All the students and the limo driver should be commended for stopping. There were no serious injuries, Waskasi said, though a two-year-old child was not secured by a seatbelt at the time of the accident. And, end quote. And I don't know, if you're a parent, you might want to go back and take a look at last week's TV episode of you and your child after a car accident. It's so important to make sure that you have the appropriate seatbelt for your young children. Them being thrown from their car seat is just the outcomes, and most times it's not very favorable for the child. So I know that every day seems ordinary, and you can be in your car and you can have your child and you might want to have them close, but just remember, you really want to have that child there with you all your life. If you're in a car and you're in an accident, you want to make sure you've done all that you can to protect your child. Sometimes, no matter how much you do, bad things do happen, and there's nothing one can do about that, but if at all possible, make sure that you have the appropriate child seat for your child and that you make sure that it's properly connected when you place them in the seat. And now for my commentary on you and finding energy. Summer is soon approaching and our climate temperature is rising. More than likely there will be plenty of sunnier days. Yet with the lack of energy or fatigue, it's difficult to enjoy the sun. One of the most important things you can do is to determine where this lack of energy is coming from. Hopefully, the conditions have been recognized and possible options recommended. Many individuals who have been in car accidents encounter fatigue or a lack of energy, but a large percentage of people in the workplace also deal with it. In fact, people too tired and driving have a higher risk of being in a car accident. So be very careful. The government has even named it. It's called driver's fatigue. Fortunately, many people have been working on solving this issue for decades. There are many options to improve energy levels. Some take a naturopathic approach, meaning anything that's natural from the earth in its original state, while others try traditional medicines, that's going to doctors, getting prescriptions, those type of things. Exercise, vitamins, along with additional creative ideas. Regardless of the road traveled, be willing to switch paths if necessary for continued improvement. In my opinion, it's really one step at a time, improvement upon improvement. Take a moment and evaluate how much of your day is spent fatigued. Are there specific times of day? And how long does it last? And have you found ways to reduce it? Just tracking your levels of fatigue can give ideas on how it's impacting your life and perhaps ways to work around it or replenish yourself. Are you being drained due to chronic pain or other issues? Try to narrow it down. Sometimes doing your own research or seeking out professional help may be a greater assistance. Is burning the you candle at both ends an issue? Or are you just doing too much, especially if you're trying to recover from a car accident? Is life bringing too much trouble your way? If that's the case, learn new coping skills that can reduce your stress levels. Is there any way to cut back on responsibilities or activities? And if you can't, can they be spaced out more? Perhaps you are experiencing chronic pain along with fatigue. Learning the cause can help you seek out treatment. And that's why it's so important to try to determine why you're so fatigued or lack of energy. Also, what about a change in your diet? Make sure to eat a reasonable amount of food in its natural state, because a lot of it's processed beyond recognition. And that's why I believe in the saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. I think there's a lot, especially if it's an organic apple where you're actually getting the nutrients and its properties haven't been changed or altered. In my opinion, currently many foods are no longer recognized with its natural properties, which makes it more difficult to process and receive nutrients. Get to know your body, mind, and spirit. Do whatever you can to promote a healthier you. Perhaps this right combination can provide more energy and time to do things most enjoyed. Time and energy are just two things that are difficult or nearly impossible to get back. Therefore, take every opportunity to restore them to a level where you are living life to the fullest. Thanks for being a part of today's broadcast. Our second article is also from WebMD, so we need to give WebMD a special shout-out for their help with our show today. And its topic is fibromyalgia and fatigue. Quote, persistent and chronic fatigue is one of the most common symptoms of fibromyalgia, second only to deep muscle pain and body aches. But unlike normal fatigue, the feelings of fatigue, weakness, and exhaustion that come with fibromyalgia can often lead to unending social isolation, even depression. Excuse me, and I want to stop right there for a second and say that if you're having those issues, online you can find fibromyalgia support groups, which are outstanding to go. You can talk with people in similar situations and find out a lot of things that are happening to you are quite common and they're actually going through it. Also, there's a fibromyalgia association that you can find online that has a lot of great ideas and resources. And they also do get together at certain times of the year. Okay, I'm going to go back on. What is fatigue with fibromyalgia? Fatigue with fibromyalgia is described as crippling, exhausting, and flu-like. You may experience fatigue on arising even after hours of bed rest. And many people with fibromyalgia have disturbances in deep level or restful sleep. So the fatigue they feel is not easy to treat. The fatigue with fibromyalgia syndrome, known as FMS, often coincides with mood disturbances, anxiety, or depression. People with fibromyalgia may describe their sleep as unrefreshing or light. Some people with fibromyalgia have pain and achiness around the joints in the neck, shoulder, back, and hip. This makes it even more difficult to sleep and worsens their daytime feelings of sleepiness and fatigue. Experts theorize that there are similarities between fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome, which is a condition primarily characterized by ongoing debilitating fatigue. Often people with fibromyalgia describe the fatigue they feel as brain fatigue. They report a total loss of energy and difficulty concentrating, a condition called fibro fog. What are the other symptoms of fibromyalgia? In addition to chronic fatigue, symptoms of fibromyalgia include abdominal pain, anxiety and depression, chronic headaches, dry in mouth, nose, and eyes, hypersensitivity to cold and or heat, inability to concentrate called fibro fog, incontinence, irritable bowel syndrome, numbness or tingling in the hands and feet, painful menstrual cramps, painful trigger points for circulation in hands and feet, restless leg syndrome, and stiffness. Fibromyalgia can cause signs and feelings similar to what people experience with osteoarthritis, bursitis, and tendonitis. But unlike the localized pain with bursitis or tendonitis, the feelings of pain and stiffness with fibromyalgia are widespread. By the way, I just want to stop here and say that the people who are the best at diagnosing fibromyalgia are rheumatologists. So if you are suspecting that this might be something going on with you, perhaps you might want to see a rheumatologist, in particular ones that specialize in fibromyalgia. Okay, I'm going to go on with the article. Do daytime naps help fatigue with fibromyalgia? On good days, the fatigue with fibromyalgia may be tolerable with daytime napping. However, on bad days when fibromyalgia symptoms flare, dealing with fatigue is quite difficult for individuals with fibromyalgia and their loved ones. Even multiple rest periods throughout the day fail to provide relief from chronic achiness, fatigue, and exhaustion. How can I get help with fibromyalgia fatigue? Coping with symptoms of fibromyalgia is difficult at best, and managing chronic fatigue of fibromyalgia takes great effort and planning. You may feel like others don't believe you when you are forced to cancel family gatherings or luncheons with friends because of the chronic fatigue with fibromyalgia. That's why planning your schedule without making too many commitments may be helpful, especially when fibromyalgia symptoms flare. Most fibromyalgia experts recommend talking to others about your specific fibromyalgia symptoms. then they will know your fibromyalgia is real, not something you've made up in your head. In fact, asking for help from your family, friends, employers, coworkers is important. When you have help, you are better able to make it through the day, even with limited energy you feel. One of the things, I want to stop here for just a minute. I think people with fibromyalgia owe a great deal to the people who had it in the past. It's actually been around for centuries. It's been known under other names and things, but it's finally now getting the recognition that it needs, and people are able to get some of the help they need to address what they go through if they have fibromyalgia, which to me is a wonderful thing, because I know personally people have gone through a great deal in being diagnosed. Some people, it's taken 10 years for them to be diagnosed, which is a difficult thing to experience, in my opinion. But I'm going to go on with the article. Reducing stress may give you a sense of control with fibromyalgia. Some experts believe that when people with fibromyalgia reduce their stress levels, they also experience a reduction in fatigue and anxiety. In addition, their sleep becomes more restful. And I'm just going to add one more thing here. I'm going to stop for a second. In my opinion, one of the best things you can do if you're in this situation is to not allow a lot of things that might be happening in your life to impact you on a physical or emotional level. The more you're able to actually put things in the proper context, then the less effect it's going to have on your ability to function. So you'll have to deal with enough issues as it is. So the more that you can, maybe the planning and scheduling that they're talking about will be effective in being able to handle that. Okay, I'm going to go back into the article. Can I continue to work with fibromyalgia and fatigue? People with fibromyalgia who are able to work outside the home and say they experience a great stress on the job. Some say they fear they may be let go and be replaced by healthier, more qualified workers. Others are concerned because they are not able to perform the way they used to. Employers also report concerns over the output of chronically ill patients. They cited reduced productivity, increased absenteeism, poor work quality, and increased workplace accidents. But if you stay mentally and physically able to handle your job responsibilities, you can continue to be productive employees, even with fibromyalgia and fatigue. I want to stop here for a moment. Make sure that if you take that you are actually ready to do that, because there's so many, in my opinion, from reading that, I think that there's truth on both sides of that. And I think that depending on your level of brain fog, it can be a very dramatic thing for you to do. We talked earlier about the disability article in Chicago that's going on. So in my opinion, the thing you have to do is find what you can do with where you are now. To me, that's, you have to start from where you are. Maybe that's just being able to recognize what your abilities are, whether you can or you cannot work. And if you can't work in the way that's traditional, perhaps find a way that you can help other people in a way that maybe you can do something 30 minutes a day or an hour a day, some way in which you can perhaps give back to your society, to society, and feel that you're productive. So many people on our planet are going through many things, and so make sure that you realize that no matter if you have fibromyalgia or not, there or any or your level of energy is lacking for any other person, that in this world there's still a place for you and you can find it. Okay, I'm going to go back into the article. Symptoms of fibromyalgia may wax and wane over time. You may, however, continue to experience muscle pain and fatigue. That doesn't mean there is nothing you can do. Here are actions you can take to help keep fatigue at bay. If your employer will allow it, put a cot in your office or workroom. I have to stop here because I kind of chuckle at this, unless you're at the, you know, managerial level and you have your own office, maybe have your own couch. Chances are, as the average, you know, minimum wage worker or hourly paid employee, that's not going to happen. That's not a realistic avenue, in my opinion, for them, for you to be able to think that they're going to do. I'm going to go on. Then allow yourself to take rest periods throughout the day, especially when symptoms flare or you are fatigued. Try to allow more time during the day to complete your responsibilities. Budget your time carefully to avoid procrastinating. Procrastination can increase your stress level when deadlines come around. Make daily to-do lists to remind yourself of the responsibility you need to complete. Limit outside commitments on work days. Ask for help from coworkers when pain and fatigue are overwhelming. Pay them back with your assistance on days you feel better. Take periodic breaks to avoid getting overly tired and stressed during busy work days. Listen to music during your work day to help keep your stress levels minimal. Talk to your doctor about medications for fibromyalgia that may help improve sleep and ease fatigue, end quote. Personally, the one that is my favorite of that is listening to music. I find it quite soothing and helping to ignore pain. Chronic pain is a very difficult thing, in my opinion, to address. But I'm glad that these have been great ideas on how to actually maybe overcome some of the obstacles, and hopefully maybe you heard some of those to help. One of the other comments I want to make about this, in my opinion, there is a dramatic difference between traumatic fibromyalgia, which is brought on by trauma, like a car accident, versus the onset of someone getting it by being sick. And if you, I mean, there's a lot of information out there on there. You can go out there and take a look and evaluate that depending on if this is something that you have to address on a daily basis. Trauma from fibromyalgia, from a car accident, from what from my personal experience with going to fibromyalgia support groups and talking with people, there's a big difference in a lot of things, in my opinion, that go on between someone who gets it from a sickness and someone who's been hit and got it by trauma from a car accident, or any kind of trauma, actually. Okay, if you have fibromyalgia, don't be discouraged. Continue to find ways to improve your life and never give up. Many have fought just to be diagnosed properly. They are learning more and more about this every single day. Last but not least is our third article, and it's from health.harvard.edu. And the title is 9 Ways to Boost Your Energy, quote, go to the store and you'll see multitudes of vitamins, herbs, and other supplements touted as energy boosters. Some are even added to soft drinks and other foods. But there's little or no scientific evidence that energy boosters like ginseng, guana, or chromium picolinate actually work. Thankfully, there are things you can do to enhance your own natural energy levels. Here are 9 tips. Control stress. Stress included emotions consume huge amounts of energy. Talking with a friend or relative, joining a support group, or seeing a psychotherapist can all help diffuse stress. Relaxation therapies like meditation, self-hypnosis, yoga, tai chi are also effective tools for reducing stress. Lighten your load is 2. One of the main reasons for fatigue is overwork. Overwork can include professional, family, and social obligations. Try to streamline your list of must-do activities. Set your priorities in terms of the most important tasks. Pare down those that are less important. Consider asking for help at work if necessary. 3 is exercise. Exercise almost guarantees that you'll sleep more soundly. It also gives your cells more energy to burn and circulate oxygen, and exercising causes your body to relax endorphins and non-endorphins. Stress hormones that in modest amounts can make you feel energized. Even a brisk walk is a good start. 4, avoid smoking. You know smoking threatens your health, but you may not know that smoking actually siphons off your energy by causing insomnia. The nicotine in tobacco is a stimulant, so it speeds the heart rate, raising blood pressure, and stimulates brainwave activity associated with wakefulness, making it harder to fall asleep. And once you do fall asleep, its addictive power can kick in and awaken you with craving. 5, restrict your sleep. If you think you may be sleep deprived, try getting less sleep. This advice may sound odd, but determining how much sleep you actually need can reduce the time you spend in bed not sleeping. This process makes it easier to fall asleep and promotes more restful sleep in the long run. And you can go out and take a look at the article that tells you how to do it. 6, eat for energy. It is best to eat small meals and snack every few hours than three large meals a day. This approach can reduce your perception of fat fatigue because your brain needs a steady supply of nutrients. Eating foods with low glycemic index, whose sugars are absorbed slowly, may help you avoid the lag in energy that typically occurs after eating quickly absorbed sugars or refined starches. And then it goes on to tell you about that. You need to take a look at the article for that. Number 7, use caffeine to your advantage. Caffeine does help increase alertness, so having a cup of coffee can help sharpen your mind. But to get the energizing effect of caffeine, you have to use it judiciously. It can cause insomnia, especially when consumed in large amounts or after 2 p.m. Number 8, limit alcohol. One of the best hedges against the mid-afternoon slump is to avoid drinking alcohol at lunch. The sedative effect of alcohol is especially strong at midday. Similarly, avoid a 5 o'clock cocktail if you want to have energy in the evening. If you're going to drink, do so in moderation at a time when you don't mind having your energy wind down. And number 9, what's the only nutrient that has been shown to enhance performance for all but the most demanding endurance activity? It's not some pricey sports drink. It's water. If your body is short of fluids, one of the first signs is feeling fatigued. Wow, I didn't know that. I'm surprised about that. But I guess it really makes sense when you think about how much water your body needs a day. I think it's about 8 cups. And that's in quote. That's the end of the article, which is great. So those are really simple ideas, and that was actually by Kathy Wong. Thank you, at about.com. So that's fantastic. So thank you. Or actually, that was. Let me make sure I get that correct. That might have been the next. Actually, though, unfortunately, there's another one. We always have more articles than we can use. It talks about 5 ways to boost your energy, and it's by Kathy Wong, and it's on about.com. And that actual link will also be on our Facebook website at Estra's Blog Tips. But unfortunately, we have to stop the number of articles. The one that we were just reading is the health.harvard.edu, and that's the 9 ways to boost your energy level. But all of our articles are actually posted on the website. So make sure you go out and take a look and support those websites that are giving us such valuable information. Again, comments on the articles reviewed today are my opinion and have no association with the writers. From time to time, I'll stop and comment on a section. Our first article comes from WebMD.com, and the topic is weakness and fatigue. Quote, weakness and fatigue are terms that are often used as if they mean the same thing, but in fact, they describe two different sensations. It is important to know exactly what you mean when you say, I feel weak or I am fatigued, because it can help you and your doctor narrow down the possible causes of your symptoms. Weakness is a lack of physical or muscle strength and the feeling that extra effort is required to move your arms, legs, or other muscles. If muscle weakness is the result of pain, the person may be able to make muscles work, but it will hurt. Fatigue is a feeling of tiredness or exhaustion or a need to rest because of lack of energy or strength. Fatigue may result from overwork, poor sleep, worry, boredom, or lack of exercise. It is a symptom that may be caused by illness, medicine, or medical treatment such as chemotherapy. Anxiety or depression can also cause fatigue. Both weakness and fatigue are symptoms and not diseases. Because these symptoms can be caused by many other health problems, the importance of weakness and fatigue can only be determined when other symptoms are evaluated. General weaknesses often occur after you have done too much activity at a time, such as taking an extra long hike. You may feel weak and tired, or your muscles may be sore. The sensation usually goes away within a few days. Muscle weakness that is slowly getting worse requires a doctor's visit. Sudden muscle weakness and loss of function in one area of the body can indicate a serious problem with the brain or spinal cord or with a specific nerve in the body. Fatigue is a feeling of tiredness, exhaustion, or lack of energy. You may feel mildly fatigued because of overwork, poor sleep, worry, boredom, or lack of exercise. Any illness such as a cold or flu may cause fatigue, which usually goes away as the illness clears up. Most of the time, mild fatigue occurs sufferers with their health problems that will improve with home treatment and does not require a visit to the doctor. A stressful emotional situation may cause fatigue. This type of fatigue usually clears up within when the stress is relieved. Many prescription and non-prescription medicines can cause weakness or fatigue. The use of alcohol, caffeine, or illegal drugs can cause fatigue. A visit to a doctor usually is needed when fatigue occurs, along with more serious symptoms such as breathing problems, signs of serious illness, abnormal bleeding, or unexplained weight gain or loss. Fatigue that lasts longer than 2 weeks usually requires a visit to a doctor. This type of fatigue may be caused by a more serious health problem. Check your symptoms to decide if and when you need to see a doctor, end quote. I chose this article because it gave an excellent description between weakness and fatigue. I think this is the first time I really understood what the differences of those two are. And I think it is very helpful in allowing you to be able to decipher what's perhaps causing some of your lack of energy. Remember, if it's, as the article suggests, if it becomes constant and you're not able to figure it out, make sure that you do go see a doctor or someone who can actually help you to diagnose what's actually going on. So thank you, WebMD, for that distinction. I think there's probably many of us out there who didn't quite understand the concept between weakness and fatigue. That's it for our show today, and I hope you've enjoyed and learned a lot about improving your energy levels. Let's meet back here next Saturday so we can continue this conversation. Remember to like us on Esther's Blog Tips on Facebook while looking at today's links. I want to extend a special thank you to Audacity, InternetArchives.org, Force M, Cora Kaya, Herb Salav, The Prayer, Wilbur Seatman's Original Jazz Band, and Suzanne Lindberg for our music, along with the articles which made our time more interesting today. Make sure to visit their websites. Tune in on Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Talking About You with Estra on Block Talk Radio. Come talk, come listen, where you can just be yourself. Have a great weekend. It's really all up to you. The information contained on Talking About You with Estra is not all-inclusive in assisting individuals in discerning information related to a car accident. Individuals seeking specifics on their case should seek professional assistance. The First Amendment of free speech has allowed Estra's radio show and her opinions, in addition to her guests and callers, which reflect life experiences. Talking About You with Estra is in no way liable for misuse of the material. For more information, contact Sunlight Publishing at P.O. Box 69082, Seattle, Washington 98168. Thank you.